May it please the court, Village of Somerset passed an ordinance that prevents Ben's Bar and any other liquor licensed establishment from presenting entertainers that appear semi-nude. It is defined semi-nude to include any performer that shows any cleavage, any performer.
Just want to set the time.
I apologize.
No.
Any performer that shows any portion of their buttocks. The result of this ordinance, then, is the establishment of a dress code that prevents bikinis, low-cut tops, sheer tops, short shorts, and lots of other common forms of attire.
That's in conjunction with serving liquor.
Correct. That's in conjunction with liquor license.
Without the liquor license, they can do whatever the state law will allow.
Non-liquor license establishment, that's incorrect. It's a comprehensive adult entertainment ordinance that also has a section that prohibits any place from presenting entertainment that stripped down to less than pasties and G-strings. So, but the provision I'm talking about here, which is provision 5B, only applies to liquor license establishments. The ordinance, or at least this provision of the ordinance, is unconstitutional because it is not narrowly tailored to address the secondary effects of which the village complains of. There's no real dispute between the parties as to what the governing law is. Both of us agree that the standard set forth by this court in Schultz is the standard that applies. And both parties also focus on the second part of that test, which is on whether or not the ordinance is narrowly tailored to address a significant government interest in combating adverse secondary effects. I'd like to discuss several cases that apply this standard or the Renton standard from which it's derived. And the first one I'd like to mention is the Alameda Books case, which is the recent United States Supreme Court case. It was a zoning case out of California that applied to an ordinance that barred adult entertainment businesses from being more than 1,000 feet from each other. The district court granted summary judgment to the business, as did the Ninth Circuit when it affirmed it. The Supreme Court reversed that grant of summary judgment, but in doing so, it more clearly defined the standards that a municipality must meet in order to show an ordinance is narrowly tailored. And I'd like to briefly quote from the plurality opinion, which was authored by Justice O'Connor, at page 8, which it states, the municipality's evidence must fairly support the municipality's rationale for its ordinance. If plaintiffs fail to cast direct doubt on this rationale, either by demonstrating that the municipality's evidence does not support its rationale, or by furnishing evidence that disputes the municipality's factual findings, the municipality meets the standards set forth in Renton. If plaintiffs succeed in casting doubt on the municipality's rationale in either manner, the burden shifts back to the municipality to supplement the record with evidence renewing support for a theory which justifies its ordinance. In this case, there is no evidence in the record, and there is no logical argument that these, what are called incremental restrictions, I'll call restrictions on nudity beyond a pasty and G-string, have any effect whatsoever on secondary effects. And the ones they tick off are the standard ones like prostitution, lowering property values, combating sexually transmitted diseases. They did submit as evidence in this case, and it's part of the record, all of the studies and I believe all of the cases that the village board relied on in adopting the ordinance. None of them set forth any rationale for these heightened nudity restrictions that this ordinance imposes on liquor license establishments. In addition, in the Alameda Books case, what I quoted from is merely the plurality opinion. Justice Kennedy concurred, and as his is the narrowest decision upon which the majority rests, his is the controlling decision in that case. And he says, in addition to this test, when you're looking at the issue of whether it's narrowly tailored, the proponent of that ordinance must prove that the quality and accessibility of the speech or the protected First Amendment expression will be substantially undiminished, and that the ordinance will have the purpose and effect of significantly reducing adverse secondary effects. Again, here, there is no showing. Even assuming you could conclude there is a purpose here to reduce adverse secondary effects, that these incremental restrictions beyond pasties and G-strings will have any effect on secondary effects. Both the plurality opinion and Justice Kennedy's opinion imply that if there is a factual dispute or competing reasonable inferences about whether the ordinance is going to have the effect of significantly reducing adverse secondary effects, that this is a matter for trial and not a matter for summary judgment. Second case I'd like to touch on is the Clarkson case, and that's the recent federal district court case. And I say that simply to show how other federal courts in the Seventh Circuit are applying the precedent from the Seventh Circuit and from the Supreme Court. The ordinance in Clarkson was substantially identical to the ordinance at issue here, was a heightened nudity restriction that applied simply to liquor licensed establishments, and Judge Adelman concluded that it was not narrowly tailored, that there wasn't any evidence in the record to conclude that the less intrusive G-string and pasties requirement would not have curbed adverse secondary effects, or that this would have curbed them any more effectively. And again, I think looking at the case law that this court is bound to apply, that the same standard and the same result should happen as in this case, because there is a dearth of any evidence, or again, even any logical argument that says these heightened nudity restrictions would have any impact on adverse secondary effects.
Now, what is the status? Is the Ben's Bar operating under these restrictions, or just operating?
And I believe that the record is clear on this. After this became effective, which I believe was approximately a year ago, Ben's ceased to present any performers and has retained its liquor license. So it is no longer offering any sort of performers, nude, semi-nude, or whatever. It continues to operate as a tavern.
Are there any places that, in reaction to this, that have done something in conjunction where you have a bar where you can drink till you fall over, and then something proximate where you can take off all the what's this?
There has not been. I note that I think there may be some restrictions in the ordinance itself, in the broader portion of the ordinance, about how close adult entertainment places can operate to taverns, so that may or not be something that is feasible under the broader language of the ordinance. I want to touch on one other case briefly, and that is the Blue Canary case by this court, which has been cited by the village in support of its broad powers to license or to regulate liquor license establishments. And Blue Canary is not a constitutional challenge to an ordinance. It's an action taken to non-renew a bar's liquor license. And in that case, there was specific evidence presented as the secondary effects of this establishment: noise, litter, disorderly conduct. And we don't have anything in this case that is similar. We have evidence of the affidavit of the owner showing this bar has been in existence for 27 years offering adult entertainment, and there has been no evidence presented and no findings made by the village of any adverse secondary effects from this particular establishment. Moreover, Blue Canary is essentially a zoning case. Here there's also a zoning portion of the ordinance which is unchallenged, but in it, this bar started having these types of entertainers in what was described as a tranquil residential neighborhood, and the municipality found that under the specific language of its ordinance, that was incompatible with the uses, the surrounding uses of the neighborhood. Here, we have not challenged the zoning aspects of the ordinance. Specifically, in the Blue Canary case, they found that Milwaukee is a big city. There's many other places that this type of establishment is allowed. It's not unreasonable to rule out the locating next to incompatible establishment. Again, here, this is a village-wide ordinance that there is no place that this particular business could relocate, even if there was some evidence that it was incompatible with surrounding uses. I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Very good. Ms. Bergeron?
May it please the court. I am going to focus on what is the main constitutional issue here, and that is Section 5B of this ordinance, the Sexually Oriented Business Ordinance, the part that identifies sexually oriented businesses as improper locations for the sale or consumption of alcohol, is it narrowly tailored to achieve a substantial governmental interest? The evidence that was relied on by this board that is in the record, Record 13 in Exhibit B, and I can provide specific pages, 1 through 3, 13, 55, 59, 61 through 62, makes it clear that the answer here is an unqualified yes, that it is narrowly tailored to achieve a substantial governmental interest. We need to remember this is not an absolute ban on constitutionally protected activity. They are free to dance in pasties and G-strings and do shake whatever they want, as long as they don't serve alcohol. It is akin to the zoning cases, where activity is not prohibited altogether, but the municipality has come to a reasoned decision that, you know, for the benefit of the community, we are going to limit it to a specified geographic location. In this case, what the record shows is, for the benefit of the community, we're going to locate it in places where we don't have alcohol. The preamble of the ordinance states expressly finding the specific kind of business that Ben's Bar is, offering erotic dancing in various states of dress and undress, sexually oriented business, has an adverse impact on the public health and safety, including an increase in sex crimes. Those would include prostitution and rape. Express findings that these impacts are enhanced with alcohol, and then we focus on the specific studies that were relied on. Page 2 and 3 of Exhibit B, Record 13. The study showed the crime increased significantly at sexually oriented businesses when a bar or tavern opened nearby. It is a particularly startling example. A bar opened within 500 feet of sexually oriented business within 1 year. Serious crime, including rape, including homicide, including robbery, increased more than 300%.
What about Ben's Bar? Did it operate in violation of the ordinance at all?
My understanding is that it did not, did agree to...
So there's no history in this particular bar of any problems arising out of it.
I don't believe that there's any in the record. That is not also required, that there be particularized evidence that there was a problem here. A municipality does not need to wait until these problems arise, and it may reasonably rely. I mean, Renton makes it clear that we need to reasonably rely on other jurisdictions. The studies that were relied on, page 13 of Exhibit B, also indicate the study police verified that taverns and bars, especially those that included that had sexually oriented businesses, were frequent scenes of prostitution and the use and sale of illegal drugs. And there are a couple more at some of the sites that I refer to.
No, you mentioned earlier the proximity of when a bar was put up near whatever, I can't remember.
It was a sexually oriented business.
So it wasn't strip dancing or dancing, it was just selling stuff?
That was not clear. What the study looked at were adult businesses, businesses that sell essentially sexual arousal, whether they are pictorial pictures.
Well, some have these little video machines and magazines and things like that.
Correct.
And others, like this one,
our strip
or Barnes Theater, for example, the whatever that one was, that they had dancing.
Yes.
Now, here, this is the dancing,
stripping,
whatever you call it.
Correct. But what these studies show, I mean, the studies look at various kinds of sexually oriented business, and what makes these stand out, what makes these a concern for the community, are not that in one particular sexually oriented business you have a particular expression of a certain kind, you have nude dancing, or you have a picture of some certain part of anatomy. What's critical here are the businesses that sell sex, that sell sexual arousal to the public, show a demonstrated increase in adverse secondary effects.
With or without alcohol?
Well, first of all, they show them with alcohol, without alcohol, and you overlay the alcohol, and there's evidence in this record that I discussed that shows that that's going to increase it further.
So this ordinance can only control those selling alcohol. It can say whether or not they're going to get a liquor license. Is that the way it works?
This is not a liquor licensing ordinance. It's you'll be in violation of the ordinance if you serve or consume alcohol in these particular kinds of
things. You're able to control that with the 23rd Amendment, right?
What
amendment? Is it the 23rd Amendment?
The 21st Amendment.
21st Amendment. Whatever it is, that's the controlling factor as opposed to the First Amendment.
Well, that's one factor, but the Supreme Court made it clear in 44 Liquor Mart that states, and in this case it's been delegated to the local governments in Wisconsin, local governments have an inherent police power to dictate, to determine where the proper locations are and where improper locations are for serving liquor. And that's exactly what this municipality did here. They said, okay, we're looking at this evidence that shows adverse effects of sexually oriented businesses, shows adverse effects that are enhanced when you add alcohol. We're going to separate the two. You can dance however you want. Tasty street drinks, that's fine. We're not going to let you add the alcohol there. The combination of sex and alcohol being explosive, having an explosive effect that this court referred to in Blue Canary. And this record here goes far beyond the minimal evidentiary record that was presented by the Town of Haley in Dima versus Town of Haley. This court nonetheless found sufficient to establish the government's burden in that case. So we have, the village has clear authority to limit alcohol in appropriate locations to address adverse impacts that exist here. Ben Farr is a sexually oriented business. They want to have erotic dancing. in the absence of this regulation, they would be permitted not to. In the absence of this regulation, the government's interest would not be advanced as well as it is with it. When we impose the regulation, you've eliminated the exacerbation of the secondary adverse effects by the alcohol, and you have not limited the speech at all. That is narrowly tailored to achieve substantial governmental interest. What Ben Farr is advocating here really is kind of a novel approach. They're saying it's not sufficient to show that specific type of business here, a sexually oriented business that serves alcohol, produces secondary adverse effects. They would want this court to require governments to produce particularized evidence that each kind of expressive conduct or speech that occurs at these kinds of business in and of itself is conclusively linked to some sort of adverse effect. And there is no case that supports that. In fact, the Alameda case, the Alameda book case, really is inconsistent with that position. In that case, there was a regulation that prohibited more than one adult entertainment business within a certain distance from another, whether or not it was part of the same establishment or separate. The plaintiffs operated an adult bookstore business and also an arcade in the same location, in effect violating the prohibition and the concentration of it. But in discussing the kind and extent of evidence necessary to withstand scrutiny under the various prongs of the O'Brien test, neither the plurality nor the concurrence to create any kind of particularized evidence that the concentration of specific protected speech or expression that was sold at these various establishments that were adult entertainment establishments itself was directly or even generally shown to have an adverse impact on the community. It was sufficient instead for the majority that there was a study showing generally the concentration of these kinds of businesses that they're terming adult entertainment businesses led to increased adverse effects that the government had an interest in addressing with the regulation. The defense seemed to advocate some sort of particularized finding and some particularized evidence that Ben Farr seems to be advocating. They would have required that there be specific evidence in the study relied on showing that restricting the specific type of adult business at issue, in this case with the bookstore or video arcade, to a single location would have decreased crime. The majority didn't buy that, and I would submit that this court should not either.
What is the size of the village of Somerset?
I have to plead ignorance on that, but it is a village. It's relatively small.
Most villages are.
Yes. That much I know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
size of the village is, I think, just under 2,000 people now. This case is about line drawing. Under the rationale that the village is advancing, sexually oriented businesses and alcohol combination are bad. We can do whatever we want with respect to a business as long as we define it as a sexually oriented business. But what they've done is they have defined a business that, again, they have defined conduct which I looked at a People magazine. There were six pictures of individuals in there who would clearly be in violation of this ordinance. They're not talking about clothing which is banned in the community or is highly suggestive. They're talking about average, ordinary type of clothing that Ben's Bar cannot have its performers in. And they do need to show that incremental restrictions further suppression of adverse secondary effects. Otherwise, they could simply, again, require long pants and long shirt, as the judge in Nakatomi pointed out. Your Honors, for these reasons, the grant of summary judgment to the village in this case should be overturned, and it should be remanded either with instructions to find that this portion of the ordinance is constitutionally deficient or for fact-finding if there is an issue as to whether or not these restrictions are furthering the government interest.
All right, thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to the fifth.